Jerry, would you come up? I appreciate Jerry Spain so much. What a faithful brother in missions. And I think that he can preach. How many of you think that he can handle this tonight? I look out here some Wednesdays and I think, my goodness, yeah, give him a hand and let's just open our hearts to the word. Thank you, Jerry.
I'd like to begin the Bible study tonight with a little trivia question from the Old Testament. And I want to disqualify Dr. Cotton, since he's a professor of Old Testament at the seminary. And probably about 90% of the rest of you. Not really. For what are the following people especially remembered in the Old Testament? Shamua, Shaphat, Igal, and Palti. No, don't laugh at me. I took those names right out of the Old Testament now. And a special group of people. For what are they remembered? Anybody? All right. I'll add then. To their group were Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sepher, Nabi, and Geul. They made a total of 10. Now that'll give you a big hint right there. They made a total of 10. Huh? They were the 10 spies. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Okay. Second question. Who were the other two? Now we're getting down to your level. To my level. Yeah, okay. Turn with me in the Bible tonight to a passage of Scripture in Jane was so good to call me earlier in the afternoon and ask me if I had a title for the Bible study tonight or for the message and Scripture. I want to confess to Jane and to all of you, at that time I was just working on my message. And I was afraid she was going to say, we need the outline for a PowerPoint, and I was going to have to say, I don't have it yet. But I do have a word that I feel like the Lord has given me tonight. I want to direct your attention to Numbers chapter 13 and where we find that story about the 12 spies. And in this passage of Scripture, we read especially about Caleb and Joshua. Now, I don't want to take more time tonight in trivia, but I could have asked you out of that list of the 12 spies, what was the original name of Joshua? And somebody probably would have known that it was Hosea. Joshua was given to, his name was given to him by Moses. And we remember Caleb. And the title of my message or the Bible study, and we already started out with a little bit of interactive response, is Caleb, the positive royal ambassador. Obi, I thought you were going to steal some of my thunder tonight when you got in trouble there, because I'm talking about a man who was 85 years old and who was still young. And in the Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, we read, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Here's the phrase that I want to especially leave with you tonight in this message. We can certainly do it. When I've been so blessed to be in this service already tonight. There are so many people in this congregation who have blessed my life, who have had an influence on me. I look back here about three rows and I see, I know I'm in trouble when I start mentioning names, but when he walked in tonight, I had a flashback. Dr. Beckett. And Brother Zenas Beckett was my English teacher as a freshman at CBI. Now, that dates me way, way back there. Only I don't mind telling you in confession that I didn't even get any credit for it because it was what the students called bonehead English. Bonehead English. That's the truth. That's the truth. I mean, some of my friends here that are from CBI will remember that I flunked the English exam to CBI in 1956. And because of that, I had to take a semester for a non-credit of English. And I thought of it tonight because Dr. Beckett was my teacher, and he taught me more English in one semester than I had learned in all of my 4 years of high school. I'm serious about that. Because in high school, you see, I was too busy playing basketball and football and running in track and doing other things, and I only wanted to stay eligible so that I could participate in athletics, that's all. And yet I get to CBI, and I find out it's important to use the right English. And I find Dr. Beckett, a learned man, over in the gym playing basketball, and that got my attention. And that he would play basketball and then would have a spiritual touch on his life while he was teaching English. And I said, hey, he's my kind of teacher. I remember what Richard Shaka from Sierra Leone said one time to us as a group of missionaries. He said this, and I wrote it down on a 3x5 card. Influence is stronger than control. I want you to think of that for a moment. That's powerful. Influence is stronger than control. Now, he was talking to a group of missionaries, and I don't need to go into all of that history. Caleb is a role model for all of us, but especially for those of us who are senior citizens. Someone has said, it's not how many years you have in life, it's how much life you have in your years. Caleb had life in his years. And that's my personal goal. I want to be a very positive kingdom ambassador. I want to contribute to the advancement of the kingdom of God. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, I want to pray it from my heart. God, let your kingdom come. Let it start right here in my life. Caleb made a difference. And I want to suggest to you tonight, now I did finally come to 4 points I submit to you. This afternoon as I was working on it, praying that the Lord would guide me, there were 4 things that surfaced. I believe that in reading, by the way, I took the time, for those of you who have been my Bible teachers in the past, I took the time to read every passage of Scripture in the Bible that from the old Strong's Concordance about the life of Caleb. And these are the 4 things that surfaced. Caleb was a positive royal ambassador because, one, he touched the divine. Secondly, he adopted the right attitude. Three, he deleted the destructive. And finally, he finished strong. Now, I want to repeat. I learned a long time ago in the principles of teaching that is fairly simple. You tell the people what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you've told them. And so I will repeat. Caleb was a positive royal ambassador because, number one, he touched the divine. I read in Numbers 4:8, he, the Lord, will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And in verse 9, Caleb says, but the Lord is with us. You see, Caleb had found the secret. He had developed a relationship with God. And while the rest of them, that we couldn't even remember their names tonight, after all these years, 10 of them, and we still couldn't even remember what group they belonged to. Why? Because they didn't have any influence on us. Their negative attitude put them in a different camp. And yet, Caleb, we remember. There are a lot of people named Caleb. And we do so because he found that a relationship with God, by touching the divine, that God had forgiven him, and that God had given him not only his grace, but he had touched him and had warned him and rebuked him and loved him and gave him an unqualified love. And that's exactly where we are tonight. You see, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just reminds us that we need him. We need his presence. We need the divine. Years ago, way out in a remote area of the country of Tanzania, God spoke to me strongly. I can't say that it was an audible voice, but I came to a very strong conviction in my life, and that is, with God, I can do anything. With God's help, we can face the impossible. I can remember, and I won't go into a lot of missionary stories tonight, but I can remember when we faced what seemed to be insurmountable difficulties, even reaching people that were resistant, going into one tribe and having them laugh at me because they said, we don't want the white man's religion, only to find out that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God could break down those barriers. And today, we have well over 150 churches among that one tribe of people called the Maasai. Why? Because the divine heavenly Father is the one that has the answer. Who was it that said, I started out with nothing and have most of it left? Or Spud and I like what Brother Morris Plotz, our dear friend, used to say when he said, you know, I started out slow and tapered off. we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. I'll say that again. We can't do it in ourselves. We've got to have God's help. The most important part of my day right now is when my biological clock goes off, and I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip, but I wake up early and I head for that coffee pot. And I thank God that coffee and meeting with the presence of the Lord go together. And that I can meet with the Lord. A long time ago in a Decision magazine that I think probably Norm Krell had ordered, and it was coming to Tanzania, and I read where Sherwin Wirt suggested that in your devotional you just use some visualization and imagine that you're sitting with the Lord or that you're kneeling beside the Lord. And I've been doing that for years. And I want to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Start the day in the presence, because in the presence of Jesus Christ, look what I'm doing now. There, I knocked that thing off, but. In the presence of the Lord, we find not only his presence, but his power. Hallelujah. Norm Krell promised me that if I had a weak moment tonight, he'd shout amen. Did you hear him? Secondly, I remind you, Caleb was a positive royal ambassador because he adopted the right attitude. Because he had been in the presence of the Lord, that's altitude, he had the right attitude. And you see, I made a comparison again on a piece of paper today. The 10 saw the Anakites. And in seeing the Anakites, they came back with a report. Giants! 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 It's impossible. And because they're giants, we're grasshoppers. That's the way they saw it. But Joshua and Caleb saw God. And because they saw God, they saw grapes. I had a little fun on them. I had some fun on a notebook today saying, it's all G's. It's all G's right there. You see, it's giants or grasshoppers, or it's God and grapes. Thank God. And I choose to have God and grapes. Wow. You see, attitude does have a lot to do with the way we live. We have a choice. And that leads us to the third thing, moving along quickly. And that is that Caleb chose to delete the destructive. I want you to review the story with me for just a moment. We can turn over to Joshua. There's a whole passage of scripture over in the book of Joshua. And I grabbed my little prayer. I want to keep this tonight, but I stuck it over here as a marker in Joshua chapter 14. And we read some of the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. In Joshua 14:12, it is recorded that Joshua said, now give me this hill country. I don't like that NIV near as well as the old King James when it says in the old King James, now give me this mountain. Give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. What day? historically, you make a comparison, find out it was 45 years earlier. 45 years earlier on that day. And he had maintained the right attitude by saying, I'm not going to live a negative life. By the way, Obi, I need your help because we were singing another one of those old songs that I've sung since I was 3 years old tonight, and I don't know what this word means. So would you help me? We sang tonight as part of our prayer, nor ever murmur, nor repine. What's repine?
Be sorrowful over the past.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But I know what murmuring is. I know what murmuring is. And I pray to God that God will help me to march rather than murmur. And I mean that with every ounce and fiber of my being tonight, that God somehow would help me at my age. I don't mind telling you, I'm a senior citizen. November the 7th will mark 72 years on the face of this earth for me. And my prayer is that I will have the attitude of Caleb. I mean that. And that I can delete the Molly Grumps. That's a colloquialism. I know it is. And that I can delete the cynicism and the criticism and say, for me, I want to be focused on what can be accomplished if we would seek God with all of our hearts and souls. And instead of saying, did you hear this or do you hear what's going on, or look at things from a negative perspective, that we would say, oh, think of everything that we could do if we will unite our efforts and seek God with an anointing of the Holy Spirit. I was traveling recently, do quite a bit of that. Somebody in our constituency saw me and said, where do you worship in Springfield? I told him. He said, well, I hear that church is in turmoil. I said, you hear what? I said, with all due respect, I took a deep breath and tried to lower my voice. And I said, I don't know from whom you're getting your information, but that's not correct. My wife and I have been members of that church since 1971. We did that on furlough. Why? Because intentionally, on furlough as a missionary, I said to Joy, my wife and I made a covenant that we're going to be a part of a local assembly, and we're going to put our kids in there. We're going to go to church on Wednesday night. We're going to go to prayer meetings. We're going to be involved in that church. We took out membership. Why? And I believe that God has kept his hand on Central Assembly and in this congregation tonight. When I look out over this, I see tremendous potential. I see that God is raising up a church that can touch the nations of the world. And I pray with every ounce and fiber of my being and all of the love of God in my soul that somehow we will stay focused. And if necessary, that God can help us to delete the destructive and say, God, we are going to be positive in our attitude so that we can accomplish what God wants to accomplish, not only in Springfield, but to the nations of the world. Finally, number four, Caleb finished strong. Oh, I got blessed in my study this afternoon when I was reading about Caleb taking that mountain. I don't take time to read all of the scripture, but I found it significant. All these years, and I even had the privilege of taking Old Testament survey from Dr. Wharton, and still I didn't remember that Hebron was the residence of the Anakites. Hebron. And so 45 years later, Caleb is saying, you know, when we went up to survey the land and they said there were giants, it was the land of the Anakites. And now I want to go to those Anakites. We've put up with this long enough. I want to go and I want to take that mountain. At 85 years old, God can give me strength. God can give me the vigor. God can give me the vision. And together, we can take the mountain for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. That's what he did. In fact, I was blessed, as it said in the scripture, that he even challenged the next generation. read an interesting little story in the book of Joshua, you'll find out that somebody became attracted to his daughter. Now, those of us who are from Africa and the Orient and other places, we can appreciate the fact that there are what we call a contract for marriage. And somebody wanted to contract for the marriage of Caleb's daughter. And he said, if you do, you've got to drive out the inhabitants of the Anakites first. Think of that. He told them, he said, this is the price. The bride price is this. You drive out those Anakites and you can have my daughter. And that's what they did. Read it. It's an exciting story. Read it. And find out that Caleb not only had a vision, but he shared that vision with the next generation. And he finished strong. You see, 500 years ago, the reformers in Europe adopted a Latin word. The Latin word was, and if I pronounce Latin correctly, carpe diem. Carpe diem. Translated, seize the day. Seize the day. And I think that's what we should be doing. Today, this is the day that the Lord has made. I come back from Africa from time to time now. I'm telling you, I'm saying to myself, as we've had conferences where over 1,000 people come together to study missions. And one altar call in Enugu, Tanzania, I heard the general superintendent give an altar call saying, who will go? It sounded like my childhood. He said, who will go? Who will go to the nations? And at least 1,000 people ran to the altar to say, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go, wherever it is. And I've said to people, we have the greatest opportunity in the entire generations of all generations, and that is that we can bring conclusion to the Great Commission if we'll stay focused, if we'll pray that by the help of God, biblically trained, Holy Spirit-filled men and women will cry out to God for the lost. Thank you, Pastor. I heard you praying tonight. Not ashamed of the fact that there are so many people, as Brother Parsley has reminded us, among the blocks of people that haven't had an adequate witness. And we have an opportunity to join together with people of the nations. And truly, we are people from all nations to all nations. Daisuke and Yoriko and others here as a witness the other day, it was thrilling for me to hear that the Japanese church has sent a missionary to Springfield, Missouri. That's the way it should be. Joe and I were in the tabernacle in Atlanta, Georgia, Sunday. I stood up and greeted the people using the Swahili language. I said, Nawa salimu wote katika jina la Bwana Yesu Kristo. And a whole group of people said, Bwana asifiwe. Bwana asifiwe. They answered. They answered me. Why? Because there are Kenyans by the hundreds in Atlanta and over 50 different nationalities in that one service on Sunday morning in the tabernacle, Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, God, you're breaking down barriers. Why? Because he wants us to finish strong. Last Saturday morning, I joined my 50-year-old daughter and ran a 5-kilometer run over here at the Hammond Stadium. I'm not boasting. Laugh if you want. I'm just stating a fact. I can still run. I have been almost all of my life. But something happened towards the end of that 5K. I had told my daughter, I said, I put it down, I played it down. I said, you know, this is just a fun run. Let's just have fun. My son's laughing because Dad usually says that. And then towards the end, I start kicking. That's runner's language for those who know anything about runs. The competitive spirit comes in a little bit and you start kicking it. And after about 2.5 miles, I looked up in front of me. This was last Saturday morning. I looked up in front of me, and to my surprise, I saw a couple bald heads. Gray bald head. And I said, wait a minute. These are older guys, and they're ahead of me. I said, I need to give it a little kick here. I need to give it a little kick. And so I planned my strategy. Think of that. I planned my strategy. I started going just a little faster, and I knew the terrain because I've run the St. John's 5K before, and I know that towards the end there's a hill. Some people call it the Heartbreak Hill, just as you go up that street and before you go to Hammond Stadium. And so I planned it. I said, I'm going to take them. And sure enough, they started fading a little on the hill, and I passed them. No, that's okay. Far more important was the fact that I ran across that finish line with my 50-year-old daughter, and she turns and says to one of her friends, this is my dad. This is my dad, and I had a hard time trying to keep up with him. You know, I thought of that this afternoon, and I only share that with you because I can tell you this much. From the depths of my soul, I'm thinking this so often in the church. We need that shot of adrenaline. We need that final kick. We need that final push with every ounce and fiber of our being. I see signs all around the world. And I know from the time I was a child, I've heard the message of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the awfulness of sin, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. But in the depths of my soul, I'm hearing that God is saying, let's give it a final push. Let's finish this thing. Let's finish it with every ounce and fiber of our being. And I believe this, and with this I'll conclude. My time is gone. We have the means. We have the tools. We have the framework right here in Central Assembly. When I look over the statement of mission that has been taught to us by our pastors, especially Pastor Jeff right now, that we're to be generous-hearted, and you know what I've done? I've taken my little notebook that I use in the morning, and I've responded personally, and I asked the Lord for permission to share this with you tonight. I've responded to those four things personally, and I have written this in my notebook. I have said, number one, generous-hearted, I will continue to develop a lifestyle of giving. Secondly, relationally connected, I will love God and family and others extravagantly. I'll pause just a moment quickly to say my heart was broken somewhat this morning in the midst of all of this. We had coffee with this 50-year-old daughter of ours. She tells us that our grandson, who was raised in an AG church in the city, has dropped out of church now. He's going to Drury College over here, and I'm not the judge. I'm glad I'm not the judge. Thank God. I want to pour love on him. And I said this much. I said, Gary, this much you can count on. We'll pray every single day. Every single day we're going to pray, because I can't stand idly by and see a dropout. Somebody that's within a few hundred yards of us at a university here in Springfield, Missouri, and maybe many of you can identify with that. I've made a covenant with Kirk Watson here because he has a wayward son. And so we're relationally connected as a family, and thank God we've been able to pray, and then outwardly focused. I will be biblically missional and seek simultaneously to be a witness in my Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the whole world. And worship-centered, I will seek to worship God in the sanctuary and by my daily obedience. And I'm not going to be distracted by the secondary things. Missionary work has been a blessing. It's been an honor. But one thing it's done for me is to liberate me. You know, it's taught me that there are a lot of secondary things. A lot of secondary things. I go out with the Maasai, and they begin to worship by jumping. They jump. That's the way they worship. They go straight up and down. They'll worship. But man, I have found myself going straight up and down. Now, if I, straight up and down with a worship. That's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing. I'll never forget the day they asked me to open a new church, and I get there, and to my surprise, it was under a thorn tree, and they had a ribbon from one place, and I didn't tell them to put the ribbon up. I really didn't. That's a cultural thing, you see. They thought that if it was a new church, you had to put a ribbon from, and they had a ribbon from one thorn tree to the other, and they asked me to take the scissors and cut the ribbon so that we could have a new church, and the new church was under a thorn tree. All of these things are cultural, you see. But the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is what's important. Father, just take, I pray, these few words from my heart tonight. And help us, I pray, oh God, not to miss what you want to do in this hour and through our church. Bless our pastor, I pray. Thank you, Lord, that you've sent a man of God and a lady of God and a family, Lord, that are multi-generational and multinational. And Lord, I just pray that somehow we will not fail, but help us, Lord, I pray, to be exactly what you want us to be and how you want us to minister. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. This is getting tiring. I'm adding heroes by the week here. Jerry, that was tremendous. Thank you for the word. How many of that spoke to your heart? Let me see your hand. We gained something. Now, what did Jesus say? That if we hear his words, put them into practice. We're like the man who builds a house. What did James say? Don't be a hearer only, but a doer. Can we just take one moment and shut our eyes? What did God speak to us tonight? And let's say, Lord, I will do it. I won't just hear it. I will do it. I will apply your word. I won't be like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. James chapter 1. But I will hear the word and I will do your word. God, thank you for speaking through our brother tonight. Thank you, Lord. What a great word. Help us all to be Caleb's, Lord. For your glory. For your glory. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen.